If you've got your Bibles at home or here in the room, I want to invite you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's going to be the landing spot for where we want to study today. If you have been with us this fall or if this is your first time, let me remind you of the focus of our weekend services. We've been calling this All In, and we've been toggling between two nuances of that little phrase. One nuance, the one that we looked at last week, was Jesus' call to go all in for him. And we looked at his specific call in Matthew where he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so really an invitation for us to lay all our chips, all our life, all that we are on the table as we follow Jesus. And the other nuance that we've looked at is this collective sense of being all in together. And so if we were to say that Vernon Alliance is going to be a community of people that impacts this city, that impacts the North Okanagan, then we will need all hands on deck. We will need to channel not just individual people, but we will need our collective life, our collective energy working together for the good of the city in which God has placed us. And that is that's the nuance, that more collective sense that I want us to consider again today. And one of the ways to, I think, to help us understand the collective sense of being all in is to consider how parts of the body work together and function together. And that analogy, that metaphor of the human body, is actually one that was originally developed by one of the apostles, the Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, as he was reflecting on what it meant to be the church. I don't think he used the phrase all in, but he began thinking about how a human body works and then applied it to corporate life in the local church. So 1 Corinthians 12 breaks down some of that, and we're going to start in verse 12 of chapter 12. I think because all of you here have a body, it's an analogy that works. It's not too hard to understand if we just focus a little bit. So let's hear what he says and then try to break it down together. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would for not that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Okay, how does this work? Paul says that the church, the group of people that Jesus has purchased with his blood, well, they form his body. Paul says that we become part of a spiritual body when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit or given the Spirit to drink. And I got to admit, at first reading, that sounds a little funny. When were any of us baptized in or by the Spirit? Well, if you pay attention, you will discover that Jesus and the apostles, like Paul, always teach that we can't get to know God, we can't be one of his friends by forcing the relationship upon him ourselves. You can't earn God's favor or pray enough or do enough good deeds so that he up and decides that you are a part of his circle now. Essentially, it is God who must do something in us in order for us to associate with each other. If we are going to be his friends, that within us there needs to be a radical reorientation, a radical change of heart. And there's lots of different analogies or ways that Scripture describes that change that God needs to do. Jesus said that it was like the Holy Spirit needs to make you born again. And he had a complicated discussion with Nicodemus about how that works. In other scriptures, it is described as being converted or saved. Here in Corinthians, that same radical change is described as being baptized by or in the Spirit. And baptism is a symbol that that radical change of allegiance has taken place in the life of the person being baptized. Instead of being controlled by their own sinful nature, the baptizee is now being controlled or aiming to give more and more control to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. We often, when we think about our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, we think primarily in terms of a vertical relationship. What's changed is my relationship between God and I. But the truth is, it's not just the vertical relationship that's changed, it is the horizontal one as well. Our relationships with other people are changed when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because of what the Holy Spirit does, we are now integrated into a group of people who have all undergone that same spiritual transformation. And this new entity, this family, this group of people who have been converted, born again, baptized into the Spirit, they are now part of what is called the body of Christ. Because of our common relationship with Jesus, we, unique individuals with different histories, dreams, talents, families, gifts, we are all now somehow, miraculously, spiritually, supernaturally, but certainly vitally connected with one another. And just like the parts of your body need the rest of the parts to stay alive and functional, we need each other if we are to continue to exist and be effective as a church, as Christians, as Jesus has designed us to be. So if you know Jesus personally today, if God has indeed given you spiritual life through faith in Jesus, you are a part of his body. And here are some specifics. First of all, the body, the church, is a unified whole. Yes, made up of many parts, lots of different people, hundreds here within Vernon Alliance, millions if you consider the global church, but you can't consider the parts of the body in isolation from one another. Caucasian, indigenous, Chinese, Filipino, Slovakian, Calvinist, charismatic, vaccinated, unvaccinated, the body is one. Which is why the word one is repeated a lot in 1 Corinthians 12. One body, one spirit. Five times in the space of just a few verses, Paul expresses one, one. You are together. You are a unity. Now, being a body of people is different than being a diverse collection. Being a unity is different than a collection of people. If you have a collection of people, let's say people who like to go surfing at the ocean, surf fans can be part of that club, members of the club. They can come and go, they can participate in the surfing trips, they can get the badge, they can choose to come to annual meetings, they can choose not to. You could be a member of the surf club in name only. But a body is different than a collection, right? A hand does not have the option of being a body part in name only. If a hand stops working, the body has a serious problem, right? It can't check out. A body has an even bigger problem if it loses a part. Removing an eye or a lung or an artery or a liver. And if you do that, you either get a body that is handicapped or a body that stops working altogether. Because the body is a unity, a unit, each part of the body is integral to its overall function. So it would be appropriate here, I think, to pause for a second and to consider our engagement with local churches or a local church. Would you say, as you think about your connection to the body, does it feel like you are a part of a club, or that you are an integral part of an organic unit that does not quite function right without you? I know this is hard for us as Canadians because we operate in many spheres of our lives as consumers, people who buy products or services for personal use, gas, clothes, groceries, gym memberships, schools, going to the restaurant, churches. We tend to think about these companies or these institutions or these service providers as customers. We're their customers, right? Who gives me the best product, the best service, for the best price? And I recognize that when you are trying to get connected to a local church, a local body, you have to do your homework, right? You have to gain some understanding of a church's culture and its values. You almost have to do some, well, you know what we call it, right? Church shopping. I've done church shopping in my life. But at some point, when that decision is made, when God draws you somewhere into a local community, if the metaphor for a local church is not a club or a shop or a service provider, but instead a vitally connected body whose members need one another, then perhaps we ought to give pause before we move in and out of churches based on whether or not we feel our needs are being met and we are getting good value. I know I'm meddling. But the metaphor begs the question, does it not? Back to the text. Even though God designs the church as a unified whole, it is made up of many different people with diverse gifts and roles. Each of us, members of the body of Christ, body parts, if you will, have been given a unique function. Going back to Paul's analogy, not everybody can be an eye, right? If we were all an eye, that would be, we'd have a really bizarre function, just looking. We just look, and that's all we do is look, right? And if we were all a hand, we'd just pick up stuff and pick it up and hold it and just hold it there and pick it up or drop it and pick it up again, right? Kind of weird. For us to be healthy or functional, we need all kinds of different parts playing very different roles. So let's think of it this way. Let me pick on Joel because he's new and he's easy to pick up on. And a few of us were talking about that thing he was wearing today. Some of us were saying Frodo Baggins, other ones saying Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't know what side you sit on. But anyways, let's imagine that Joel was playing this morning and that he was playing so exuberantly today that he started to catch on fire because he was playing the strings so fast, right? And so he's playing, he's up here, it gets a little freaky, and all of a sudden his hands are burning up. What kind of person does Joel need? And what kind of person would we need as Joel goes into distress with burning hands and a burning guitar? Well, I think we could benefit with a person with leadership gifts, right? Someone who would run up here, grab the fire extinguisher from the back room, hose Joel down, and then get up here on the mic and say, folks, it's okay. Joel's going to be all right. Let's get the band back up. Let's get a substitute leader. We're going to take a few minutes. Let's get the PowerPoint fired up, Elena, and we'll sing a few songs till we get this all straightened out. It's going to be okay. We would really benefit from that, right? From a person with that kind of gift. But it would also be great to have an encourager, right? Oh, Joel, I'm so sorry. It was an accident. It's not your fault. Don't be embarrassed. I know you feel weird, but we love how you lead us in worship. You were literally on fire today, right? And wouldn't it be great if Joel also had a compassionate person who would help him into the side room, get the water in the sink, immerse his burning hands in cold water? It would also be great for him and Allie to have a person who loves to help. And they would say, oh, we gotta, you know, someone's gotta get Joel over to the emergency room at the hospital, and someone's gotta care for their kids. I'll do that until they get back and the treatment's over. I'll just make sure the children are all right. It would be great to have someone up in the classroom teaching kids, saying, kids, you know, this is why you always need a first aid kit close by. Make sure, do all of you children have a first aid kit at home? And it would also be great to have a prayer warrior, right? Someone who would pray for Joel's hands to heal quickly so he could get back and lead guitar. And it would also be fantastic to have someone who loves to give. Oh, you know, Joel's guitar is wrecked, it's burnt now, and they pull out their checkbooks and they write a check so that he can get whatever kind of guitar he can to replace what was destroyed. Which person do you want as part of your church? All of them, right? Each has a role to play, which makes the body functional, and better than that, it makes it beautiful. The thing is, whenever you put a diverse group of people together and call them to work together, there are always challenges, right? One of the challenges is that we tend to overestimate the importance of our value to the body. That is, some of us believe that our worth, our particular framework, our contribution, well, that is greater and more important than people with other gifts and other functions. This church needs me. Where would this body be without me? If only there were more people just like me, right? Where are the passionate worshipers? There's just a bunch of dead and unexpressive people. God must be so disappointed to watch us every weekend when he listens to us. Where are the biblically serious? Am I the only person who thinks that studying the Bible and applying it and circling and using different color highlighters is, am I the only person who studies the Bible vigorously? I'm an evangelist, the only person who cares about anybody else outside the doors of this church. Where are the people who just like to serve behind the scenes and get stuff done? Too many people want the glamour jobs around here. We need more people like me who are willing to just roll up their sleeves and get it done, put it on an apron, do the dirty jobs. This church needs an organizer like me. They couldn't organize their way out of a paper bag. If it wasn't for me, this church would be a church living in a van down by the river. Where are the prayer warriors? How come people don't pray in this church? There is not a passion for prayer in this body. I thank God that God has made me the way I am and my friends just like me. Otherwise, no one would be praying for this church family. How come there aren't more generous givers like me? Now, in some sense, every one of us carries those responsibilities that I just listed off. Worship, Bible study, evangelism, service, prayer, generosity. All of us are called to serve God and to serve his people in those ways. You can't say, you know, I don't give generously because I'm not gifted that way. I don't study the Bible because that's not my role. At the same time, God does gift us differently. He wires us differently with different interests, different capacity, different inclinations to read or to give or to serve, different passions and abilities that help serve his people in the multitude of ways that it needs to be served. And if all of us were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Sure, you can go out and tell lots of people about Jesus, but unless there are people praying that God will work in the life of those people, it may be just a lot of talk. You can pray day and night, 24 hours a day, for the city of Vernon, for people to come to Jesus. But at some point, Somebody has to stop praying and actually go out and serve the community in Jesus' name and bring good news to the ears who need to hear it, right? Don't overestimate your worth over against the rest of the body. At the same time, don't underestimate your worth and your contribution either. Oh, I'm just a foot. A stinky old, hairy old foot. And because I'm not a beautiful hand with opposable thumb, I'm of no use. Come on, that's not how the body works. But I wonder if some of us think that way about our part of a local body. Perhaps some of you have quieter personalities and don't like being the center of the attention. Or maybe some of you who are caring for young family members or old family members, which means you aren't able to contribute at the level that you would like to. Maybe some of you who have gifts in more background areas, who love to serve behind the scenes. Maybe God has placed you in a quiet way to be an encourager, a supporting gift. Maybe you have physical or emotional limitations or know of someone that can't quite operate at the same pace as other members of the body. And if you are one of those people or can think of those kind of folks, you might be saying, well, you know, I'm of no use to this body. I'm not super Christian. I'm not well-versed. I don't love being in the public role. I'm not an upfront persona. What you need to know is that God has not designed us all alike. In fact, He has designed us differently so that we can function as a body, different parts fulfilling different roles. Every one of us still, nonetheless, has a part. Don't underestimate the contribution that God has designed you to have. In fact, if even a minor little part goes missing, sometimes it inhibits the function of the rest of the body. In my college days, I tree planted in northern BC to make money for the next college year. And in my last year of planting, there was a lot of Devil's Club. If you've been out in the bush and done some hiking, you may have seen it. But I got a little thorn somehow in my ring finger on my left hand, which is the hand that puts the seedling in the hole. 3,000 times a day goes into the hole. At first, I didn't even feel the thorn go in there. A couple days later, a little bit of irritation. A few days later, starting to swell. And by about a week or so later, I couldn't even like touch it with anything without writhing in pain. So I had to take the day off, go into town, went to the walk-in clinic in Prince George, and went to the doctor hoping for a compassionate person. I said, my hand hurts, my finger hurts. And he said, come to the sink. And he turned the water on full blast, grabbed my finger, shoved it under the water, and squeezed on it as hard as I could. And he's like, does that hurt? And I was like, yeah! And it literally exploded in a bunch of stuff, which I won't describe to you. It took all of that to fix me because a little tiny thorn in a tiny little part of my finger prevented me from making money. I had to stop altogether doing what I was there to do. The moral is, one little part not being operational keeps us from doing what the rest of the body needs to do. God has designed every member to contribute, and if one part hurts, if one part stops contributing, the rest of us suffer as well. In fact, this analogy of the body pays special attention not just to parts that are hurting or vulnerable, but parts that are so-called weaker. Let's hear a little bit of the weirder part of Paul's analogy starting in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Here's what I think Paul is trying to say. As you know, our bodies have organs, heart, liver, lungs, stomach, bowels. These organs are more susceptible to injury or damage, and they could be called, quote-unquote, weaker parts of the body, right? But God has designed us in such a way that these parts, weak as they might be, they are actually indispensable to the function of the body. They get special privilege and protection inside our bodies because they are so important to us. Other parts of the body, say, for instance, the reproductive organs, they also play vital roles in the function of the body, but they are more private. They are what Paul calls unpresentable. And because of their unique role and their value to the rest of the body, they are clothed and treated with special modesty. The point is, parts of the body that seem weak or vulnerable or behind the scenes, they actually play a critical role to the functioning of the body. People in the church who play a different or background role are in reality significantly playing in what God is doing in his kingdom. And don't judge a person on how important they are simply because they get lots of airtime or because they are really prominent or because of how spiritual their role seems to be. God will make sure that each part is honored equally. He has combined members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body, but each part should have equal concern for one another. That last little part deserves a little consideration. Each part should have equal concern for one another. So if you are maybe a hurting body part today, if you have an illness, if you're wearing out a little bit, if the pain of losing a spouse or a loved one is hitting you particularly hard, if you are going through a difficult season of life, I would challenge you today not to withdraw, not to isolate yourself from the rest of the body as you may be tempted to do. In the body, weaker parts, parts that are in difficulty, they are treated with special honor. The weaker parts of the body give everyone else the ministry of suffering along with others. And this is a blessing to us, to cry with you, to hear your stories, to meet your needs. It's not just that you need us to help you. We need you. God has put the body together precisely how he wants it. So where have we been? God's designed us as a unity. We are one body. And yet, even though he calls us together, the church functions best if we play many different diverse roles. Don't overestimate your role. Don't underestimate your role. And remember that weak and so-called vulnerable parts have a vital role to play as well. Let's wind up by connecting a couple dots together and making some practical applications. Number one, how do I know where I fit? What part of the body am I? Where do I belong? What should I do? Well, the church has over time found out and designed different ways that you can figure out what body part you are supposed to be, what role you should play. But I would suggest that you just start trying to do things. Get involved. Get engaged. Often your personality, the kinds of activities that you find your way into, they will point you, God will use your personality and interest and drive to connect you to the particular role that he wants you to play in the church. You don't necessarily need a fancy test. Mostly, you just need to begin serving in the context of the body, and God will generally get you into the place that you need to be. So, if you are tentative this morning about this kind of stuff, I am calling you to be courageous and just try to get involved somewhere. talk to someone who is a leader about the kinds of things that you are think you're capable of doing, and try some stuff out. And lo and behold, today we have an opportunity for you. In the foyer after the service is a ministry fair. There are a bunch of tables out there with various ministry leaders who would love to talk to you about the various ways that you could serve, from engaging with kids in the weekends, serving on our hospitality team during services at church, men's ministry, women's ministry, getting involved in mentoring, prayer. There are all kinds of little roles, big roles that we need filled in order to do the kinds of stuff that the church is called to do in 2021. So I encourage you, as soon as we're done, before you take off and head to lunch or the lake or wherever it is you're going, consider how you might be called this fall to get involved in the life of this body. And if you're not sure, try some stuff out. Last practical application. Let's talk about volunteerism. I hate the word volunteer at church. Now, I recognize that volunteer carries a couple meanings. Number one, you did it of your own free will. No one forced you. And secondly, you probably did it for free. In other words, you're not like me and you didn't get paid. Both of those qualities are honorable and praiseworthy. And I salute anyone, many of you here, who serve for free and serve willingly and don't get paid. But the word volunteer can also mean a person who will help out when it's convenient and when it works for them. And in the end, it's not really their problem because, hey, I'm just a volunteer. I don't work here. Volunteers take responsibility and they leave responsibility when it suits them. But I don't know, you can't just do a whole like study of the body of Christ and then assume, well, I don't know, I guess we should just volunteer. That's not how it works with the body. Imagine what it would be like this afternoon if your right leg decided that it was only a volunteer. You know, I'm free to move, I'm free to go for a walk, to support the torso, but I don't have to if I don't want to because I'm a volunteer. And so then you want to go out to the park, you want to go for a hike, and you say, hey, right leg, let's get moving. We got to work this afternoon. And your right leg says, no, sorry, I can't. Talk to eyebrow, talk to armpit or big toe today. I am unable to volunteer for walking this afternoon. It doesn't work, does it? The body of Christ, the family of God, is not made up of volunteers who come and go and serve as they feel like it. But instead, we are family members, body parts, who are critical to the overall function of everybody else. Participation is not optional if we are going to thrive. So, my friends, my brothers and sisters, people for whom Jesus has died, people, many of you, baptized in the Spirit, you are the church. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. What part are you playing? Would you stand for prayer? Holy Spirit, a little earlier this morning, we, with our voices, welcomed you into this place. And we spoke of our longing for your presence, of our desire for you to fill us, to bring joy, to bring change. And those prayers are true. But we also know that you aren't here just to make us feel good. We aren't here just to bask in your presence. The point of Jesus dying is not just that we love hanging out together, but that we do stuff. That we use the gifts and resources that you've given us to bless the world. That we become more and more like Jesus, that our corporate life together and what we do reflects what heaven is going to be like. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray not only would you fill us, not only would you make us aware of your presence, would you animate us as your body, different parts, all kinds of different roles, but collaboratively working together as one. And may what comes about as a result of that, the mutual encouragement that we have, the friendships that we develop, the ways that we serve each other, and the ways that we bust out of this place, serving the poor, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the people around us, bringing hope to the world, may that be as glorious as any good worship service that we experience in this room. You are going to need to do it, but you've already told us the way you're going to do it is by using your body to bring you glory. Would you engage the parts of the body that you have already assembled together? We pray this in your name. Amen.